When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to All the Books, a weekly show of recommendations and enthusiasm regarding the week's new book releases. This is episode 44, and today we are talking about books released on March 8th, 2016. I'm Liberty Hardy, here with my fellow well redhead, Rebecca Shinsky, and we're coming to you from bookriot.com.
Hello!
Hi! I feel like we should say my fellow explosive pink redhead.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a new, I'll have to have like a new temporary moniker, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, my hair is more pink and purple than red too, so.
Yeah. We've been the well redheads together for so many years, though. I think we're going to keep that even, you know, our red gets replaced with gray.
Yeah, it's totally. Oh, I don't want to think about that now.
We've got time. We got plenty of time and so many books to read between now and then.
Oh my goodness. So many books. It's amazing. Speaking of amazing, can I just say one thing before we start?
Sure.
I just, instead of saying it at the end of the show, I just want to say now how amazing all our listeners are
and
how
are.
Thankful I am for them and grateful because they're just so wonderful and they say such nice things to us and about us. And I love hearing from them and I know you do and it's just great. So
it is just great. And I'm really pleased that the listeners of this show know that we want to hear from you. And we are happy to give you unicorn names. I only got a few tweets about issuing unicorn names, and I would be happy to continue doing that.
It's so awesome.
It is. I was like, I'm getting paid for this right now.
That's so great. I know. I love those jobs the best.
Oh, you want to kick us off this week?
I'm going to do that. My first pick is called We Love You, Charlie Freeman, by Caitlin Greenidge. I love when you discover a book and all of a sudden everybody else on Riot also seems to be reading it at the same time. So a whole bunch of rioters are reading this and we're all loving it. I loved it. It's about a family, the Freemans, who travel to the Tony B. Institute in rural Massachusetts. They've been selected to be part of an experiment. They're going to be sort of subjects and live at the Institute. Charles and Laurel are the parents, and Charlotte and Callie are the daughters. And what they're going to do there is teach sign language to a chimpanzee.
Oh.
But he's going to live with them, like, in an apartment there. Like, they want the Freemans to raise him like he's their son.
I want to watch this reality show so badly.
Oh, chimpanzees are so violent. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't think I could handle it. I'd be like, they're so strong. I mean, not all of them, you know, but they're, yeah.
Not all chimpanzees.
Not all chimpanzees. But, so, they go in and they move to this institute, which is a very strange place. The woman who asked them to come has this very strange, gross habit that I'm not going to mention here. And the narration of the book kind of goes between the teenage daughter, Charlotte, and her experiences there. They are a black family, and they realize that there are no other black people in the area, like, around them. And the narration kind of goes between that, and then when the Institute was founded, they talked to a woman who lived in the town. There's a scientist who's come there, supposedly, to help open the Institute and work with the chimpanzees, but instead he spends all his time, he says, studying the black children at the school. And it's just as the narration goes back and forth, it kind of looks like the Institute is not that great and they might not be doing what they're saying they're doing. And it's kind of like this metaphor, maybe. I don't know if that's the word I want, but basically what this book is it's ultimately about the failure of language. And how America, like, still needs a better way to talk about race is, I guess, the best way I could say it. It's really interesting and weird and smart, and there's a monkey. So or an ape. I don't know which ones are chimpanzees.
We are out of our depth here.
Yeah, I only know Lancelot Link, like Chimp Detective. So
I just followed a really great huge pig on Instagram. But otherwise, I am out of my depth. So I'm going to move on to, or do you want to say the title again? Sorry,
yes,
I'm rolling right
over
you.
So Great, Smart, Wonderful Novel, We Love You, Charlie Freeman by Caitlin Greenidge. And that's Caitlin with a K.
All right. Our first sponsor this week is FabFitFun. They are back again. FabFitFun is a subscription box with premium, full-sized fashion, beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. So you won't have to spend your time squeezing lotion out of tiny little sampler packets that you paid way too much money for. FabFitFun comes out once each season. It retails for $49.99, but we've got an offer code for you to get $10 off your first box. You're going to go to FabFitFun.com and use the coupon code BOOKS. So you'll pay $39.99. Every box has a value over $200, and the welcome box, which is what you'll get when you subscribe now, is worth over $300. These always come, I think this is the third season that I've gotten one, they always come just packed with stuff, and because it is premium full-size stuff, it feels like a nice, pleasant experience to open it. You're not just getting like advertising stuff and postcards and sample sizes of things that you'll only use if you're traveling. There is a really pretty necklace that came in this one. It's gold and has a little black sapphire touch in it. Mine is a heart, but you could also get a horseshoe. That alone is valued at $100. There's a goji berry anti-aging serum, which is maybe a thing that I might want to be thinking about. There is a cool hairspray to keep your hair looking fresh on days that you maybe don't want to shampoo. There's nail polish. There are awesome earbuds. There's a gift card to an online boutique and so much more. And they do always try to ring all the bells of fashion, beauty, fitness, and lifestyle. So there's a little bit of everything in each box. I've been really pleased with the variety of items that I've gotten so far. I've kept and used almost everything that has been in the boxes, which is unusual. Like, I've been a little bit of a subscription box junkie historically. I will try just about any of them, and often they come with a bunch of stuff and you kind of only like one thing, and it's like, well, okay, well, this thing is worth $50 and I paid $39.99, so that's fine. Like, it's fine. But it's really great when you do feel like you're getting so much value for your dollar, and FabFitFun totally lives up to that in my experience. If you want in, or you want to gift this to a woman in your life, you go to FabFitFun.com, use the offer code BOOKS, you get $10 off your first box, and it lets them know that you came from all the books and helps us keep the lights on and hopefully sends them back to sponsor us more so everybody can stay happy. So thanks to them for sponsoring this week. Okay, do you want to hear about my first pick?
Yes, I do.
Yay, I'm so excited about this book. It's called Burn Baby Burn by Meg Medina. She is an all-around awesome writer, and she's this, like, whatever is more than a triple threat. She's probably a quadruple threat. She writes picture books, she writes middle grade, she writes young adult. She does it all so well, and she is an all-around awesome human. She also lives here in Richmond, and I get to know her. So full disclosure, we have worked to get together on things. We're kind of friendly. I really love Meg, but I would love this book even if I didn't know any of those things about her. It's set in 1977 in New York City. It's the summer. Nora Lopez is 17, and she's kicking off her senior year of high school and starting to think about what's next in life. She doesn't want to go to college, even though everyone around her is pressuring her to. She would rather move out and get a job. And since it is the summer of 1977, it's the summer of Sam in New York City, but they don't really know that yet. The police have just identified a serial killer who is targeting young women and shooting them on the streets or coming up when they're like making out with their boyfriends in cars. And everyone is terrified. Some of the shootings have happened very close to where Nora lives. And to complicate things, she has just met a new guy that she likes while working at the local grocery store where she also has a job. So his name is Paulie, actually Pablo. And they hit things off and are maybe going to start dating, but she's worried about like being out in the world, being a young Latina woman with long dark hair, which is exactly the kind of girl that this serial killer who's on the loose is going after. And things heat up and get interesting and a little bit scary, and scary in the Summer of Sam way, but also scary in the it's hard to be 17 and not really know how to make the best decisions or how to balance all the stuff that's going on in your life. Nora's home life is complicated. Her brother is a problem child. Their mom is struggling to pay rent. And so we get to look at Nora's life as a teenager, going through those typical teenage things, but also how she's handling the deal, you know, handling and dealing with the stuff at home and with her best friend, whose father is a firefighter. And so has the inside track on the string of fires that are happening around the city, and also some information about the serial killer. It's so good. Also, there's disco stuff like Burn Baby Burn. The title is, you know, from a disco song. The cover is awesome and it has a disco ball on it. And there's great, if you're into like older musical references, there's great sort of disco stuff woven into the story as well. I really loved it. Such a great young adult writer, Meg Medina, and this is just a wonderful book. She's one of those writers that makes me jealous of the kids these days who get to read authors like this. I wish that somebody was writing these kinds of books when I was a teenager, even though, you know, we both read a lot of Lois Duncan and turned out okay.
So this is okay.
This is Burn Baby Burn, and it's by Meg Medina.
All right, I'm going to talk about my next book and try not to get confused. See, the problem is that I will admit to, I started thinking of this other book that had a monkey in it when I was describing the last one, and I was like, wait, that's not the thing that happened in this one, because there are so many books with monkeys in them.
You need to make a list.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you don't make notes. So my next book is wonderful, and it's called High Dive by Jonathan Lee. And he's a British author, and I think I read that this is his first book being published in the States, which is cool because it's wonderful. And you know how I love a book based on real events.
I do.
Despite the fact that this is very sad.
we're already into the Kleenex.
Well, it's a horrible thing. It's based on the Brighton Hotel bombing of 1984, in which the IRA bombed the Grand Hotel. Trying to kill Margaret Thatcher. They were having a Conservative Party conference there at the hotel, and a member of the IRA put a long delay time bomb in the bathroom of one of the rooms, and it went off 4 weeks later, like while the conference was going on, and five people were killed. It's not an alternate history, so, you know, Margaret Thatcher does indeed make it out still. As we all know, she made it out. But High Dive just follows the 4 weeks prior to the bombing. It follows the people who live in the hotel. There's the hotel manager and his teenage daughter. And then it also follows the IRA explosives expert. And you see like what their lives are like. And you watch as they get prepared in their different ways for their different jobs. You know, the hotel people are getting prepared for the arrival of Margaret Thatcher. The IRA is getting, you know, prepared for the bombing. And he just has this rhythm to his writing that I can't quite describe, but I just found it completely enchanting. You know, despite the grim subject, I found that it was really funny at times. It was really good. It's just a very thoughtful, emotionally engaging novel. And I hope that he has another one out in the States soon. Again, it's called High Dive by Jonathan Lee.
It's not easy to do to be funny when you're talking about such a serious thing.
Yeah, but like the hotel manager's daughter is a teenager, and you know, the things she's nervous about boys, and the hairdresser is a hypochondriac, and it's just like there are all these like funny things because this is like real life going on, because these people have no idea that there is a bomb in the hotel like for 4 weeks. You know, they had no clue, so they're just going about their lives.
That's crazy. My next pick, I don't have a segue from that, is it's called Fight Like a Girl, 50 Feminists Who Changed the World by Laura Barcella or Barcella, I'm not sure which. This is intended for young adult readers, but it is something that every feminist should have on his or her bookshelf. And it's about 50 women. It's profiles of 50 women who are working or have worked to change the world, you know. And it's geared for the readers who live in today's world, who see something related to feminism or women's rights or the assault on feminism and women's rights on the news every day, or more likely on the internet every day, and want to know what that's about and who the leaders are and sort of who the standard bearers are, and women who were important to the movement in history and who are important now. This collection is awesome. It's intersectional and inclusive. It features women from history like Sojourner Truth and Rosa Parks. Also women who are doing, you know, activist and political work today. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Hillary Clinton, Roxane Gay is in here. Bell Hooks, Sally Ride, Margaret Cho, Queen Latifah. So you also get entertainers. It's not just political, professional feminists who are doing activism that are profiled here, but women who are leading in their fields and breaking new ground simply by being women who are fighting for women to have space in the spaces that they want to take up, whether it's actual space like Sally Ride or Queen Latifah being a woman in hip hop, Margaret Cho being a woman in comedy. Really interesting. The profiles are just a couple of pages long each, and just an awesome resource. You could take this list and look at everybody who is still alive and working today and make yourself like an awesome reading list of their books and a CD collection, MP3 collection, I guess is what the kids would do, or like a Pandora station. You could follow a bunch of them on Twitter and really have a pretty well-rounded look at where feminism has been and where it is and where it could be going. These women are also, you know, writing and speaking to and about other feminists all the time, and they would be great gateways. So I found the material of the book to be wonderful and really interesting, but also it was a good reminder of who these women are and an introduction to some of them that I wasn't really familiar with before. And it could be just such a great gateway into knowing more about what feminism really is and what it can be and who the people are who are leading it. It's so great. Another book that I am jealous that I didn't have as a teenager. And again, it's called Fight Like a Girl, 50 Feminists Who Changed the World by Laura Barcella. Either one.
I this is record, but the last two episodes I've had all authors' names that I can pronounce.
Woo woo!
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Also, I think I have the only short story collection on this episode today. Yeah. Not this next book, but the one after. But my next book is called Guapa by Salim Haddad, and it is a novel about 24 hours in the life of Rasa. Rasa is a 27-year-old gay man living in an unnamed Arab country where not only is it not considered acceptable to be gay, but it's dangerous, so he is not out. He has a fake girlfriend that he tells people that her parents are so traditional that he can't really even talk about her or tell anyone her name. And he works as a translator for Western journalists. And but he's 27 years old, and people are like, why are you still not married? You know, like asking all these questions. He lives with his grandmother. His parents both passed away by the time he was 12, and he lives with his grandmother. And at the start of the novel, his grandmother has, for whatever reason, just looked through the keyhole of his bedroom door and seen him with his boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Who he sneaks in at night when she's asleep. So she's freaking out. His boyfriend is upset because, it's a secret, and now, you know, what's going to happen? Are they going to, you know, what's going to happen to them? So he's kind of distancing himself from Rasa. The country is in political upheaval. There are riots and fights all the time, snipers. It's kind of a dangerous, like, landscape at the moment. And his best friend is named Maj. Maj is a political activist, and at night he is the drag queen star at Guapa, an underground bar where he and his friends all hang out. He has been arrested, so Rasa is trying to find out where he is. You know, he feels like he's losing his grandmother, he's losing his lover, he's losing his best friend. And he's just spends these 24 hours in this country trying to find solutions and balance to all his problems in a country that wouldn't really accept him if they knew his secrets. It's really intense. It's sad. And it's also amazing. The writing is incredible. And again, it's called Guapa by Salim Haddad. It's H-A-D-D-A-D.
That sounds so good.
It is so good. That's why I told you about it.
Is that how the show works?
Sometimes.
Oh, man. You can tell I'm like in vacation brain already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and we should tell our listeners, you're going to have guest hosts for the next couple of weeks because I will be on an adventure.
Yeah.
So you'll get to hear Amanda Nelson and Jen Northington, who are both our awesome colleagues at Book Riot. And together they co-host the Get Booked podcast, which is custom recommendations for requests that readers send in. Like, I'm into books about fishing and monkeys and they need to be dystopian. And one of the two of them will know what to recommend to you. It's a great show. If you are into our show, which we hope you are because you're listening, you will like all or you will like Get Booked. And I'm happy that the two of them are going to be stepping in for my chair virtually while I'm gone.
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too. I will, you know, I'll send you messages, I'm sure.
Yes. But it'll be weird. Fun. They're great fun.
I know. I don't think that we've gone 2 weeks without talking to each other in like the entirety of our friendship. And so it is going to be very weird.
Yes. I'm already like, I'm going to have to do the ad spots.
Be like, you're going to do great. And speaking of ad spots, look at that segue.
Good job.
Our next sponsor this week is Viceland. Viceland is a new TV channel from Vice, which is the culture website magazine, as you know. It just launched on February 29th. They have a ton of awesome shows. My favorites so far are Noisy, which is hosted by Zach Goldbaum. He goes around the world visiting different musical artists and diving into the cultures and communities that have inspired and shaped their music, and then also that sort of circular way that the music shapes the culture. In turn. And then there's Gaycation, which is hosted by actress Ellen Page and her best friend Ian Daniel. And they also travel all over the world, but they are diving into LGBTQ cultures in places like Japan and Brazil and smaller towns in America, and talking about the multiplicity of LGBTQ experiences, the fact that gay people, that queer people are not a monolith, but that there are many, you know, many, many ways to experience what it is to be queer and the different cultures that arise around queerness in these places, or the different cultures that tamp it down, what it's like to be gay or queer in a culture that frowns upon it or where it's even illegal. Really interesting stuff. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, sort of most of these Viceland shows are about deep dives into culture in some way. Weedicate is about marijuana, people, and politics. There's Flophouse, which you talked about last week, that looks at the houses that up-and-coming comedians live in together, like basically everybody crashing together while they're trying to make it. Balls Deep is hosted by Thomas Morton, and he hangs out with a different person or group of people in each episode trying to give their lives a try. And that's kind of an interesting way to think about these Viceland shows, is that each one has a theme, but they're all about windows into other lives or other cultures or subcultures or other experiences within the culture that you might not be familiar with. You can go to Viceland.com to watch trailers, to check out first episodes, and of course look for Viceland in your cable package if that's a thing that you do. We'll have a link in the show notes as well. And if you're into Noisy, that premiered this week on March 1st. Well, it is March 1st while we're recording this, but that doesn't matter because you're listening on March 8th. It comes on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Gaycation comes on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. And you can check out the full listing of all the shows at Viceland.com. Really happy to have them back this week. It's fun getting assigned to watch TV as homework.
Right? Unicorn names in television. Woo-hoo.
I know. I don't mind that. When I saw that they were sponsoring, I was like, you mean I have to watch TV for work? It's right up there with having to read books for work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's already pretty good being like, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to read this book right now.
Yeah. Our lives are not rough in that respect. No. Speaking of books, my next pick this week, we're going back to YA and back to stories about people in their senior year of high school. This is The Serpent King. It's by Jeff Zentner. This is an awesome, gritty, southern young adult story. It's set in a small town outside of Nashville. It's just dark and weird in the ways that I want a gritty southern story to be. The main character is named Dill. His dad is a snake-handling, tongue-speaking, holy roller preacher who is in prison for being in possession of child pornography. But Dill's family blames him. His dad thinks that he should have taken the fall for him. His mom thinks that the porn was actually Dill's and that he's been lying all along. And so they're both convinced that it's Dill's fault, that their father, whom they are, his parents are just convinced that the dad was ordained by God and has this important ministry and should be out in the world and shouldn't have been locked up no matter what. So that gives you a window into their family situation. They're also very poor because they incurred a lot of debt with his father's trial. They had a lot of debt before that. And so Dill's life is ungood, and he's really struggling. His best friend, Lydia, has a great family, good life. She's too big for the small town. She runs a fashion blog that's taken off. She gets to interview famous people. She's applying for NYU. She's pretty sure she's going to get in. She's very glamorous, but she doesn't ever write really about her real life on her blog. She's never written about her real friends, about Dill or about their other friend, Travis, who is a super nerd. He's into this fantasy series. He carries around a big staff. He wears all black. He's like 6'5" and wears all black. And things are really bad at home for Travis as well. But this trio hang out together and they're going into their senior year of high school. Dill is trying to just figure out what to do with himself. Does he want to try to get out of town? Could he even try to get out of town? He's never even thought about going to college because his mom doesn't want him to. She just wants him to make money and help pay off the family debt. Lydia is starting to look at these friends that she has and think about how much they mean to her and feel pretty conflicted about the fact that she hides them from her public, essentially, and pretends that her life is different for the readers of her blog than it really is. And Travis is just sort of struggling to make it through his family life with his abusive father. It's, you know, it's interesting. Like, the snake handling, tongue speaking dad is an interesting and like outlandish element, but mostly this is young adult that's really grounded in real experiences and everyday difficulties. You know, there's nobody has a crazy serious illness that they're fighting. No one's family just won the lottery. It's not that YA that sort of takes unlikely elements. This is YA that could happen and does happen to kids all over the place all the time. Their friendship is so interesting and feels so real to read the way that these three kids talk to each other. And I loved that the narration moves between all three of the characters. So we get to spend time with each of them at home in their family life as they're thinking about their other two friends and the decisions that they're making. And it just, it hits on so many things. I just really enjoy this. I plowed through it. Again, it's called The Serpent King by Jeff Zentner.
This last book I'm going to talk about, I think I've already talked about it twice on the podcast, but it's worth mentioning a third time. I'm going to hit on it again quickly, and because it's Helen Oyeyemi, and she is a goddess, and this is, it's finally out. It is her new book. It's a collection of short stories called What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours, which is such a great title. It's so much fun to say. These short stories are all based on the concept of keys, whether they're physical or metaphorical. She asks the question, like, what is a key? What is on the other side of a locked door? You know, what is, like, what do locks mean? There's one about, like, a baby who's left on a doorstep, and she has a little key around her neck, and where does that key go? There's, of course, one about a key unlocking a heart, because it's a very famous, you know, metaphor of keys unlocking hearts. There's locked gardens, locked libraries, locked diaries. It's so much fun. And all of these stories are, of course, wonderful, because Helen Oyeyemi, again, goddess.
Obviously.
And they're just wonderful showcases for her and her cleverness and her wild imagination. They're so great. And it has an amazing cover because all her books get the best covers. And again, it is called What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours, Stories by Helen Oyeyemi.
Awesome.
I told you I was going to make it quick. You know.
You did. I was surprised to see it further down the agenda, but you have talked about it before. And you did make it quick. Good job.
Sometimes I pick them by, like, how far out I read them. So I read that one, like, months ago, so I remember less.
Your secret's out.
Yep, it's out.
My last pick this week is called Smarter, Faster, Better by Charles Duhigg. He is the author of The Power of Habit, which was all over the place a couple years ago, and for very good reason. I loved that book. It was all about, you guessed it, habits, how we set them, how we break them, how to get better, healthier, happier habits, really useful, practical information. This new one, Smarter, Faster, Better, is about the science of productivity. He talks about how often we conflate the ideas of productivity with speed or efficiency. But productivity is not just about doing something quickly. It's about how we set goals, how we manage teams, how we make decisions, and, you know, ultimately doing the most that we can with our time, not just doing the things that we have to do as fast as possible, which is an important distinction and one that I find incredibly useful in my working life and in my personal life. I straight up love Charles Duhigg. The book also includes a lot of case studies and examples and some, like, useful sort of how-to implementation stuff. So you don't just have to read examples about things like that people did at big companies or that they did in their own lives. You can very easily slot in whatever the thing is that you are working on yourself, either at work or in your personal life, and apply these ideas with scientific backing, which is the best, to them. I really, really loved it. I'm almost finished with the book. I'm pretty sure it's not going to tank at the end, so I'm happy to recommend it here. Again, it's called Smarter, Faster, Better by Charles Duhigg, and that's Duhigg.
I was telling you that Smarter, Faster, Better is really fun to say, but now I think Duhigg is more fun to say.
Duhigg is fun to say.
It's a great word.
I've been looking at this title a bunch as I've been, like, you know, preparing for the show and doing research the last few weeks, and I just keep confusing it with that song that goes like, smarter, better, faster, stronger, or harder, better, faster, stronger. I don't know. They play it at my gym a lot. And
well, that's why I don't know it.
it's been stuck in my head forever, and it's all Charles Duhigg's fault, but I can live with that.
Awesome.
Those are our new books this week. What are you going to read now?
I'm just starting Jane Steele. Did you read it?
No, but I saw it come through.
Yes. Jane Steele is by Lindsay Fay, and it is a reimagining of Jane Eyre, in which Jane is a serial killer. At first, so I thought it was like another one of those like, oh, detective sort of literary character things. No, she's the serial killer. Young Jane sort of has a interesting childhood in which she leaves a lot of bodies and flees to London. And many years later, she sees that they are seeking a governess for her childhood home. It has been bought by someone else. And so she pretends to be someone else and goes back to her childhood home. And she falls in love with the man who has bought the building. And she's trying to decide, like, does she reveal that she's actually, you know, the heir to the building. He has some dark secrets of his own. There's some weird stuff going on there. And yeah, so Jane Eyre with murdery stuff.
Awesome.
That's so awesome.
What a time to be alive.
Yes.
I have no idea what I'm going to read next. I like grabbed a bunch of books off my pile, and there was logic behind the selections that I made at the time that I made them, but they are in my backpack and my travel bag for this trip, and I don't really remember what all of them were. So it'll be a surprise for listeners and a surprise for me when I return.
All right.
I was in like a fugue state of that. I should take that, and I should take that. So that is our show. Thanks again to our sponsors, FabFitFun. Go to FabFitFun.com and use the coupon code BOOKS to save $10 on your first box. And thanks also to Viceland. You can go to Viceland.com for more information to see trailers and get schedules of the shows or look at your cable provider. We're really happy to have them back this week as well. Drop us a line at allthebooks@bookriot.com or hit us up on Twitter. I'm Rebecca Shinsky, S-C-H-I-N-S-K-Y, and Liberty is there at Miss Liberty. Pretty easy. And as Liberty said, we are so appreciative of all of you who listened to the show, who talked to us each week and let us know how you liked the books and what you've been reading and, you know, what your unicorn name is, all those things. It's always such a pleasure to hear from you. And thank you also to everyone who has taken time to rate and review the show on iTunes. It really does help new listeners to find their way here. And if you have not yet done that, we would so, so appreciate if you would take a minute to do it. It's a little gift for us and helps us to grow the audience and ultimately to keep the lights on to keep being able to make this thing and to just have an excuse to talk to each other about books for half an hour every week, which is basically the best ever.
It keeps me from roaming the streets. Nobody wants that. if I can stay inside. And as much as we would love to tell you about more books out today, we don't have the time, but you can read about more titles out now in the show notes at bookriot.com/allthebooks, as well as find a link to our weekly new books newsletter. So I will see you in soon-ish.
Soon-ish.
Yeah, have fun and happy reading.
Happy reading.